talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh my God! Hit me again!
All right, one more time around the block.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, give us some background on Mrs. Butterworth. Is she a slave woman?
Mrs. Butterworth?
Yes. Or is that just that whore Aunt Jemima?
What question is that, Kevin?
I need some background.
Aunt Jemima's not a slave woman either. She just happens to be a black woman. All black women aren't slaves.
No, but didn't it look to you like it?
Kevin, the interview killer.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man.
When do we get our murder button?
Whoa!
Wasn't that just cool?
And now,
in the state of Texas, if you come into our state, you will be executed.
Our feature presentation.
That seems fair. I like that. I'm down with that.
That's the policy of Rick Perry out there in Texas, man. You got to be careful to vote for that guy for president. You got to be nationwide.
Snipers at the border?
Yep.
Sweet.
Hey, what's up, party people? It's Monday, everyone's favorite day of the week. We're losing mugs, by the way. I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah.
Already?
He's in rough shape. He's got trouble at home. He's got trouble in Las Vegas. He's got trouble in his stomach. He's got trouble in his head.
No.
He's just got problems,
He's
dude.
Falling apart.
Well, he is falling apart.
On Friday, we had a conversation with him about going to Las Vegas and coming back at what time, 11?
No, my flight left at 9:50.
Yeah, 10 o'clock, okay.
And I got here about 11:15 last
Okay,
night.
So no, you said no.
Why do you do that?
Oh, I thought you meant 11.
Why do you do that?
I said coming back at 11. Nope.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So 11:15, and we were saying that's a terrible idea, even just from the beginning. Even if everything goes well, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
But
I made it back.
Yeah, well.
Right, but, I mean, couldn't you have come back at 6 o'clock last night?
Sure.
Wouldn't that have made a huge difference rather than coming back at 11?
Yeah, but that's less time in Vegas.
Right, but you have a job.
But you must have been out of money by Saturday morning at 10, I would imagine.
I got there Saturday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
And I was out of money by Sunday.
Right. So that's the saddest thing about being in Las Vegas when you've got 12 hours till your flight and you're out of money.
And the worst thing was, like, I wasn't just blaming it on him. I said, it would be a bad idea for me to do the same thing.
Yes, it would.
Like, you just realize you have a job. Some of us are a little short bussy, so you got to kind of get back in a little earlier.
Yeah, that's a little sleep.
Even though I did make it back, I was the whole time I was at the airport, I was like, oh, my God, please. I was hoping for the plane to arrive. All I was thinking was, Kevin's going to be right. Kevin's going to be right.
I was
Kevin's
right.
Kevin's going to be right.
By the way.
But I made it.
Yeah, I know you made it.
Oh. How much did they laugh at the sports book when you put down Kevin's money for Arizona to win the Super Bowl? I mean, they just must have broke it out laughing out loud, right?
Right when I placed a bet, the guy's like, 40-1 odds. Okay.
See, that's why you do it.
That's why you do it.
Who knows what could happen?
It could.
Hey.
They're
undefeated at this point. Who knows?
It's a long shot. Sure, it's a long shot.
Speaking of flying, yesterday, as you know, was the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
What?
It was in the news, yes, Kevin.
Was this in the news?
Oh, there you go.
Play it at least.
And I could feel that one coming. So, understandably, people were a little jittery flying, especially since we had received word earlier in the week that there were some credible terrorism threats happening on the anniversary. So, is this the day you want to be the asshats on a plane from Los Angeles to New York yesterday and going in and out of the restroom and refusing to come out? And at one point, and I guess they ended up scrambling F-16 jets to accompany this plane into New York for the last couple of hundred miles.
Yeah.
There were three, and as I understand from the news, dudes locked into one restroom at the same time.
How do they physically do that?
That's my question. Look, I understand they were making out. That's what I hear.
Is that what they were doing?
An in-flight air marshal determined that there was not a terrorism threat. At that point, the F-16s were already flying alongside. The guys were questioned when they landed. Look, let's go to Lisa May because she certainly has had more experience in a restroom with another person than we have.
Sure.
Two people is tough in an airplane restroom, right? How do you work three?
Almost impossible.
I just don't even see what you could accomplish with three people in a restroom on an airplane.
You really have to have studied geometry, I think.
Well,
and it's a five-hour flight.
If
you
no
have
parts
time?
Are going to enter other parts and it's three dudes, I guess they could all just be using hands.
But
in a circular fashion. Maybe. Like the Boy Scouts.
What kind of circle can you make in that little space? I can barely turn around in there.
It's insane.
Me too.
That's awesome.
I can't believe how tiny those restrooms are. And they're smaller than they used to be, right?
I don't know.
Isn't that one of the places where they've tried to increase passenger space outside with seats and stuff like that? So they've had to take the space out of somewhere else. Aren't the restrooms smaller than they used to be?
Yeah, I think.
Or am I just bigger? I don't know what's going on.
I know that if you're bigger than 5'2", you're screwed.
Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah,
but three guys, I've never even heard of that.
And how could they be completely unaware of the day?
Right, that's the other thing that I'm thinking. No matter how horny you are, you got to go, hey, we're flying on 9/11.
No, maybe you don't.
On an American Airlines flight, right?
On an American Airlines flight to New York.
Oh, my God.
You got to be saying, this is nothing but a bad idea.
Guys, alcohol, that's a simple answer.
What are you
thinking? I mean, you're not thinking about the day. You're not thinking about the news. You're just thinking about trying to squeeze into that restroom.
He looks so good in those jeans. That's what you're thinking.
How crazy is three people?
I know. That's the most shocking thing about the whole story to me is not that there were two, that there were three.
Had to be failure, doesn't it? I mean, don't you think they tried,
someone got left out?
And then they just went, forget it. It's not working.
Let's wait till we get to the hotel.
Bob's upside down. This isn't working.
So anyway, fortunately, it was not an actual terrorism attack, and everybody's fine.
All right. Well, that's good news. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Just how great is male ass?
Ask those three guys.
Yeah, ask Bob.
And I would guess Bob would say, pretty great. Thanks for that info, Bean, today.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Listen to him. He can't even argue it anymore for real.
I am arguing because oftentimes, we'll talk about it when we get there, but it's not fair, I'm telling you.
You say this all the time, but I write stuff down verbatim. Sometimes I even have to ask.
And a lot of times it's something that is current and relevant and in the news, and I bring up as a discussion, not just for our own enjoyment, but also because it might be relatable to the show.
Sure, and we'll be the judge of those items when we do that feature. Relatable to the show. We got Harvey Levin from TMZ talking about the celebs over the weekend. We have Joe Levy on the program today. He's talking about the October Maxim.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen that one yet, but...
That's a good magazine.
It's a good magazine. Got a lot of good articles. We're going to talk to you if you have super hot roommates.
That you're not supposed to touch?
Zooey Deschanel, new TV show. I know, Bean loves her too much. That's what I was afraid
of. I do love her so much.
Say her name because then we'd hear that creepy noise. But yeah. A new TV show where she moves in with a bunch of guys. And then, I don't know if it's just me, but it's on then, like, with the guys.
Well, that's the point, it's not on, though.
It is, though.
Apparently, it's not on.
Well, yeah, that's a problem, but it's still, in the guys' minds, it's on.
Right.
Imagine if you're looking for a roommate, and Zooey Deschanel shows up, and she says, I want to move in with you guys, and if you remember from the promos, and all of my friends are models.
And you go, I don't know. Okay. We're going to discuss this Michael Jackson concert / tour / what's going on. There's like two or three different events.
They're all so weak sauce, too.
And they're all terrible.
Yeah.
It's so funny to watch people try and cash in on Michael Jackson's death. And they start planning it, and you can tell from the second you start, it's a horrible idea.
And don't you think for Michael Jackson, you should be able to put together something amazing? Really?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
But it's the people who are planning it,
I think, is
the problem.
And most of it's his family.
Exactly.
Beer Mug as a newsman. I don't know if you guys could picture that, but Beer Mug did some news on what channel?
It was one of the public access channels.
For CSUN, right?
For CSUN, yeah.
Yeah, he was he's strong. So we got some video for that coming up today.
Okay.
I just can't believe Beer Mug in a suit. That just blew my mind.
Right, with a tie, right? You look at him
dressed up.
What's happening here? In what world? And he's trying to look so solemn, and you go, that's a guy with a beer mug tattoo on his foot.
I can't wait.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. So we got all that coming up today, plus we'll talk about some NFL action. But first, we'll take a break and come back with a showbiz beat.
I love Mondays during the football season when the Eagles win because Ralph is actually happy to be here, it seems like.
Nope. He's always happy.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always happy to be here. Yeah, sure. All right, let me put it this way. He's still miserable, but not as miserable as he is after the Eagles have lost over a weekend. That's the good news. Oh, come on, Ralph.
No, it's worse.
Why?
Why is it worse?
Because I go from having an amazing, happy Sunday.
Right.
And then I have to come here and work with you two.
With your best friends.
So that is like, it's a bigger drop. It's a bigger disparity between happiness and misery than just like a boring everyday Sunday where nothing really happens.
See,
all that
I was
much.
Rooting for the Eagles because of what Bean's saying. So now I need to say I want to root against them.
No, I'm saying it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Either way, win or lose.
All right.
Mondays are a bitch.
They're still miserable.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Bean here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, I do love my listeners. That's why I give them passes to see advanced screenings of really cool movies like this morning's film called Moneyball.
Yay!
I am not a baseball fan, and same. Yet I cannot wait to see this movie.
Same.
Does look good.
Because it looks like it's not, I mean, it's about baseball, obviously. Billy Bean's successful attempt to put together a baseball club on a budget, as he did with the Oakland A's, but it seems to be about a lot more than that. Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill, Robin Wright, Philip Seymour Hoffman, great cast. Moneyball-movie.com is the website if you want to go for more information. And if you'd like to see the movie early at our very special advanced screening on Wednesday, September the 21st, call now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through will win a pair of passes to see the advanced screening, and the movie's in theaters everywhere on Friday, September the 23rd. Speaking of movies, Steven Soderbergh's new film is certainly contagious with moviegoers. How does he do it?
You can't be happy with that.
Vitamins. Contagion was number one at the box office over the weekend. Story of a virus that sweeps the nation and then the world. Then Gwyneth Paltrow dies. I heard standing ovations. That's what I heard.
Is that right?
In theaters all over this country of ours.
Only when she passed?
Number one at the box office this weekend, $23.1 million. Made it number one by far. The Help knocked out of the top slot for the first time in weeks. Came in at number two with just $8.7 million. Then Warrior in its debut made $5.6 million.
That was great.
Okay.
And the other couple of people that saw it.
Enjoyed it. The Debt was fourth, Columbiana was fifth, then Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Shark Knight 3D, Apollo 18, Our Idiot Brother, and Spy Kids 4D, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Sad news over the weekend, Academy Award-winning actor Cliff Robertson died Saturday at the age of 88, one day after his 88th birthday. Doctors are calling it natural causes. Never quite understood that phrase. Something had to kill him, right?
Sure.
It wasn't nature. Nature didn't come by and blow him over.
No.
Something happened.
But it could just be failure of your body to continue living. Have you ever thought
right,
of that?
But still, yes, but there's a cause there.
Oh,
his still heart attacked him or his organs failed or something. I'm just saying natural causes. I don't buy it.
He'd still be alive if it wasn't for that phrase.
That's right. 50-year movie career this dude had. Quite a run. He played John F. Kennedy in the story of his life in P.T. 109. Won an Oscar for his role in the film Charlie, based on the classic book Flowers for Algernon, about a young man, Kevin, who's basically an idiot. And then for a brief
shining moment,
he gets superior intellect and gets to see the world in a brand new way, but then it all starts to slip away again.
I don't know who any of those people are.
And he's returned to a state which he's even dumber than he was when he got started.
Yeah. Why are you looking at me?
I'm just saying.
You think I would enjoy the movie or what?
It's like a week at work with Kevin, basically, that whole movie. On Mondays, he's not so good. By Wednesday, he starts to come out ahead, just pokes his head above the fray. So you start to see some light, and then by Friday, it's all
come
over
on
again.
What I love, Ralph, and I'm sure this has happened to you too, is that when Kevin shocks us sometimes by using a word that's way above his skill set.
Yeah.
And the listeners just freak out. They're like, oh, my God, did Kevin just use that word? What's happening? And we all think the same thing. He's taking a drug. It's some sort of Flowers for Algernon situation. He's
Charlie
getting smart.
Yeah.
It's a Charlie moment.
And then he goes back.
Then he goes back. And then we realize.
Oh, you.
Sometimes it's like you came home and your dog starts to talk to you. Imagine how shocked you would be if that were to happen.
Come on, I'm a human being.
That's
I
what
can
it's
at least
like
talk.
When Kevin throws out some like parliamentary procedure or something. We'll go, what?
How dare you?
And it all
it's
goes
very
away.
Upsetting to the room, Kevin, is what we're telling you.
Cliff Robertson famously appeared as Uncle Ben in the Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire. That's probably what he's known best for recently, but quite a career and quite a life, so he will be missed.
I hope next hour you go through every movie he's ever done.
Just saying. Guy's had a long career. 50 years in show business. I'm sorry I gave him a minute and a half, asshole.
Hey!
Wow.
Kevin, he is Uncle Ben in the Spider-Man movies. You've actually seen him in a movie.
I have, yes.
I do not remember him or know who you are. Anyone seen Colin Farrell's belt? Anyone seen his belt?
Huh?
Has anyone seen Colin Farrell's belt?
I have not.
Belt?
No.
Please raise your hand if you know of the whereabouts of Colin Farrell's belt.
What happened?
Please call the Lost and Found office if you find Colin Farrell's belt, please.
Where's the Lost and Found office?
It's on the third floor here. He is furious. His favorite fashion accessory has gone missing. He has a very superstitious relationship with many of his pieces of clothing.
What?
He wears the same boxer shorts at the start of every film that he shoots. He's got superstitious boxer shorts. And his belt is another important part of his mojo. He has spent thousands of dollars over the years to repair that belt and to keep it intact so that he can continue to wear it. He's now offering a reward of $25,000 if you find his belt.
What do you think that belt's worth?
$100.
Oh, my God. Is it at some whore's house? What happened?
He doesn't know what happened to it. It's missing.
If he knew, he wouldn't have to pay $25,000.
He could just go to where it was, and then he would get it. But it's missing.
That's a lot for a belt.
He's asking for everyone's help. If you can find his belt, please let him know. Anybody know where his belt is?
No,
unfortunately.
And we have our first Dancing with the Stars injury. Here's your injury update. Ricky Lake has reportedly slammed her heel into her shin while rehearsing. Ambulances were called out. She has a fat heel. No, apparently it was just a bad bruise, and the medics checked her out, and she's fine for now. Till that clot moves out of her shin, gets thrown right into her brain.
Why'd they call it an ambulance? For a heel or a shin?
Because they need footage for the B-roll for Dancing with the Stars, I'm sure. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Joey Pants, actor Joey Pantoliano, celebrates his 60th birthday today. Rush drummer Neil Peart is 59. Oh, I'm going to break out a little Tom Sawyer, do a little air drumming later on today because Neil Peart is a god.
You're a great air drummer.
Thank you so much.
I'm not sure it translates on the radio.
Oh, it will.
Okay.
That's how good I'll be.
Okay.
People will feel it through their speakers. Ben Folds is 45 years old today.
Actor Jason Statham is 44 years old. How good does Killer Elite look, by the way?
Awesome.
Looks awesome.
Paul Walker's 38 years old. Benjamin McKenzie from Southland. Oh, I missed that show. Bring it back right now. He's 33 years old. Ruben Studdard from American Idol's 33 as well. Yao Ming!
Hey!
Former NBA star is 31 years old. Jennifer Hudson, actress, singer, Oscar winner. She is 30 years old. And Emmy Rossum. Ooh. Emmy Rossum, who ironically has never won an Emmy. Isn't that odd?
You don't get one just because your name is Emmy?
I guess you don't. She is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. A very happy Monday because NFL football came back. Happy for people like you, Kevin. Your Arizona Cardinals won a game. Not so happy
undefeated.
For people like me who the Seahawks were every bit as bad as we thought they'd
be. Yeah, but again, you knew what they were going to be like.
I knew they were going to be terrible, but I thought the 49ers would be worse. But let me tell you who is not happy today. Our old friend Eli Manning, quarterback for your New York Giants, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time this season. Eli, how are you?
Hi, I'm Eli. Right?
Yes, you are Eli.
Yay!
You're happy? You sound awfully happy today for a guy who got destroyed by your rivals, the Redskins, yesterday.
Yeah! Oh, well, things happen.
Okay.
Hi,
Eli.
Hi. You know what I don't have?
What?
Broken neck.
You don't have a broken neck.
You're talking about your brother Peyton, who's still hurt. Yeah.
That's a little rough.
Oh, I am the Iron Man. I play every game because I'm amazing. Oh, everybody loves me. I'm one of the best quarterbacks in the world. Ooh.
I can see how that would annoy you.
Eli, it's
who's
me.
Not
it's
your... playing now.
It's your brother. Come on.
Yeah.
Be nice. Be nice.
I'm so good. I'm better than everybody. Ooh, four-time MVP. What does that even mean, MVP?
Most valuable player.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah. He, by the way, is that good. He is better than everybody.
I thought it was a brand of underwear.
No.
Oh.
No. Sorry.
Listen, now that your brother is hurt and out for maybe even the whole season,
his whole career.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope he comes back. No, he's going to be better.
Die. I don't die.
I hope not. But aren't you the Iron Man in the NFL now? Aren't you the guy who holds the new record for most consecutive starts?
I don't know the answer to your question.
Okay.
You are.
I thought you might.
I do not read well.
You hold that record, but it's about half what Peyton was, so it's not that impressive.
Well, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Eli, can we talk about yesterday's game against the Washington Redskins?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Stupid engines.
Redskins, right?
Yeah, that's why I don't like Indians.
They're not
real Indian.
Burn your covered wagon.
What are you talking about?
And then they put a stake in the ground in the sun and make you bake and put ants on you.
No.
And then they take the white women.
What TV shows have you been watching?
I see it on the Western Channel.
I see. Okay.
Indians are bad.
No, they're not bad at all.
They're perfectly.
Because they don't deserve it.
That's not true at all.
White
but listen.
White man.
Okay, that's a bad chant. Let's not chant that. Okay, that's not appropriate. Oh, come on.
Never mind.
All right, me smoking peace pipe.
28-14. You got very little help from your defense. You were sacked four times during the game yesterday. I'm sure it seemed like a. I bet it did.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Is there a game going on right now in the background? I can't.
We're practicing.
Right now?
Yeah.
Wow. You get right to it, don't you?
Well, we have to because we were bad.
Yeah, you were bad.
So
yeah.
Coach Coughlin is making us practice.
Oh, that's
too
bad.
We've been practicing all night. I'm so tired.
Is that right?
Oh,
yeah.
That's rough. Wow. That is rough.
Ow!
And then Rex Grove.
Hey, red jersey, you know what that means?
But wait, you're talking to us while you're in practice?
Yeah, I'm throwing with one hand and holding the phone with the other.
maybe we should let you go.
Oh,
because
no.
we don't want you to end up like Peyton.
Don't let me go, please. I have to go back to Coach Coughlin.
Yeah.
He's mean and ugly. He looks like a retarded Russ Perot.
Oh, you shouldn't say that either. Okay.
No, that shouldn't say the R word.
All right,
sorry,
listen.
All to the retarded people.
Your people, right?
No.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Hey, what's coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show, by the way? Anything good?
Nope.
Anything good?
Really?
Have the info right in front of me.
Joe Levy from Maxim Magazine is going to be joining us, previewing the October issue. Also, TMZ.com's Harvey Levin will join us too. And you had a super hot, had or have a super hot roommate. What must that do to the dynamics of your house or apartment? We'll talk about that on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's go to the email bag. We get letters on many, many topics here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oftentimes, they are follow-ups to things we were talking about on the show. For instance, this one. We were talking about crazy things that people did to get out of something.
Yep.
To get out of a test or to get out of work or to get out of getting married or whatever.
Because the situation was getting in a fight, so he ran headfirst into a cement wall.
That happened.
Matt writes in, how creative is this? I had a final for my vector statistics class that I was unprepared for. So I took fake blood, put it in those dog medicine syringes. Before my final, I went into the bathroom and I shot the syringes up my nose and let them bleed out onto my white shirt and all over my face.
Oh, my God.
I came running into my class right as my teacher was passing out the test. She looked at me and freaked out. She said I had to go to the campus health center immediately and get checked out. I refused. I demanded to take the test. She refused and wouldn't let me have the test sheet. So I walked out, was able to take the test 3 days later after I'd studied, and I passed with 93%.
Nice.
That
done.
Is planning ahead, isn't it?
Nicely done. That's thinking. Dear Kevin and Bean, I love death too. This one begins. Bean is a fan of death.
Mm-hmm.
Strange, I do enjoy death.
It's kind of strange to the rest of us, but all right, everybody's got their tastes. But this person, Lori, is down with Bean, loves death. I am always telling my kids horrible stories that I read in the papers. Well, maybe less of that.
Less for the kids,
for
right?
Your kids, let them grow up. I'm the harbinger of doom. Anyhow, I have a book I really think you'll love called Last Words of the Executed. Bean, you've read it?
I have that. Yeah, I have that.
That's what I figured.
Oh,
I just wanted to test it out of the blue. I didn't give Bean the heads up or anything.
No, it's good. It's a good book.
I'm sure it is.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I was listening to the podcast the other day, and I'm really getting ticked off about all this controversy over Chaz Bono dancing on Dancing with the Stars. Now how suddenly it's not a family show. Of course, if you missed the conversation last week, there are actually people who are calling for boycotts of the sponsors advertising on this season's Dancing with the Stars because Chaz Bono is on and is a transgendered person. And people are saying, I can't watch it with my kids anymore. It's not a family show. Well, Austin writes in, hey, why didn't it stop being a family show when Holly Madison was on it? She's a freaking playmate. But nobody seemed to have any problems with that. Or did they? I don't know. Sorry to be one of those people who thinks their opinion matters. That's from Austin. Thank you for the note.
Remember we were talking about people who were named normal names, but it had to be misspelled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is even different. This is, I had a friend in high school who dated a girl named Monica. M-O-N-I-C-A.
Okay.
Right. Well, it's spelled right. She pronounced it Monica. So it's not misspelled. It's spelled correctly, but it's said wrong.
I bet she did it with an attitude, so too.
It's Monica.
Yeah.
You could just tell, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's silly.
Right from passage.
Lame.
Here's one more from me. This is from Jacob. We were talking last week what it must be like to have your birthday be on 9/11. What a downer that would be every year, right?
Yeah.
Well, Jacob writes in to say, my mom called me on the morning to wish me a happy birthday 10 years ago. I heard the phone ring. My roommate picked it up. I could hear her say, I think he's asleep. Mom said, no, I've got to talk to him. And then she said, happy birthday. The Twin Towers were bombed. I thought she was kidding. But I turned on the TV, and sure enough, there it was. Ever since then, my birthday has sucked. My morning classes at Indiana University were canceled that day. I went out that night. There were about 10 people there, and I had to buy my own drinks. A few years ago, I was carded at a gas station. The lady looked at my birthday on my license and said, that sucks. I said, what? She said, your birthday. I asked her when her birthday was, and she said something. Then I responded, that sucks. She tried to save face, but I said, look, you just don't tell somebody that their birthday sucks. Love the show,
wow.
Jacob.
Take it easy, Jacob. Dear Kevin and Bean, longtime listener Steve writes in. Kevin and Bean, I heard a few weeks ago that you guys had no Steve. I don't know how this got started, but at some point we started saying, hit it, Steve, whenever anyone's supposed to hit any music. But there's no real Steve. It seems to have lived for a couple of years.
I'm sad that you are pulling back the curtain on that, by the way. I'd like them to think we have a fully staffed program and a guy named Steve who's always got his finger on the button.
Okay. I'm sure they feel that way hearing this, non-professional unit.
Our show.
But this guy says, I noticed that Beer Mug is your current Steve. But he does a bad job. So I'm sending my resume to apply for Steve. Let me know if you're interested. And his name is actually Steve. So we can actually have it.
Right there. I'm interested.
We can get rid of Mugs and have a Steve.
An actual Steve.
And then we can actually say hit it Steve and there'd be a guy named Steve. Beer Mug can't hold the imaginary Steve's jock, though. I'm sorry to say.
That's true.
And finally, and please go to the website to get any of our email addresses. We do enjoy hearing from you on any topic that you hear discussed on the show or something that you think we should be talking about on the show. We welcome that as well. We do have a follow-up on a topic that we did last week that I thought was a lot of fun. And this was the Rolling Stone magazine readers poll on the worst songs of the 1990s. Yeah, we're all excited to hear the good songs, to hear the Nirvana, and to hear the Oasis, and to hear the songs that you fondly remember from that decade. But there were a lot of crappy songs, too. And I think we have a medley here of the songs that we presented as the worst 10 voted by Rolling Stone readers.
Rolling Stone readers, top 10. This is 10 to 1.
I'm too sexy for your party.
Who let the dogs out?
My heart will.
So there you go. You can see those are all bad.
Yes.
We got a lot of email, a lot of afro. We didn't really know how to handle it, so we just pulled a bunch of clips of songs that people suggested were horrible to them from the 90s. And we're going to play some of those now.
Let me see that song.
The thong song
by Cisco. Remember that? And that was one of those, like so many on this list, that were not only horrible, but they were number one forever.
Yeah.
like for 10 weeks or something crazy.
Speaking of number one forever, I like this song, but it was played today.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play.
I was fine with it. You know,
yeah, I don't mind that from Smash Mouth. Sure. I like that song, actually.
4,000 times, but you know, and then there's their share.
Do you believe?
Yeah, I didn't need that song at all. The first time I hated that song.
That one didn't bother me that much, but I will tell you, we can look back now and see that was the beginning, all the way back in 2000 when that song went to number one. That was the beginning of the auto-tune invasion.
Yeah.
And I have come to hate auto-tune so much, and I'm so disappointed now when artists that I really like Lil Wayne, comes out with a new album, and there's still auto-tune all over it. Like, aren't we over that novelty effect anymore?
We're not. No matter what Jay-Z says, auto-tune is not dead. How about this one? Like, that one I didn't hate immediately, but it did get played
totally
every...
Just bammed you over the head
every
with it.
3 minutes. How about this? Yeah, that one sort of bugged me.
Yeah.
From the beginning. Here's another one that people said was a horrible, horrible song from the 90s. That about?
I like the Cookie Monster. What's your problem
That's
with that?
A terrible song. And finally, a song I love because it's bad. You know how they get bad enough that it comes around? This one was fascinating to me. And then he quit. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:35.
I wonder if that song is going to be on the worst song of the 2010s when we do that topic in about 20 years or so. I don't think so. I think that one's going to hold up okay. But you never know. There were songs we loved so much back then, and then you ended up turning on them and hating them.
You know what the problem is that it depends on how long it gets played and how many times and that kind of stuff. And then some of the songs we got tired of just because they got overplayed. But
yeah, that's true. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Thanks a lot for tuning in, kids. By the way, funny man Jay Moore on the program tomorrow. Very excited about that. I caught one of his many new television shows over the weekend. Have you seen this Master Debaters show that he does?
I haven't. No.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. So funny. We'll have to talk about that with him tomorrow. Right now, though, we want to talk about a guy who maybe has a career that is not quite so bright in broadcasting. Beer mug, God bless him. We love mugs. I don't want anyone to misinterpret this as we're down on mugs for any reason other than professionally he sucks. I mean, he's a great guy. I'm proud to call Mugs my friend. I enjoy mugs. I would hang out with mugs. I love the dude. He's got no business in broadcasting, though. None.
Thank you. I agree with everything you're saying. He's a guy who his nickname came from the fact that he got a tattoo of a beer mug on his foot. So that cracked us up. We were like, really? A beer mug? That's the tattoo you, like, that's the
your
one?
That's your choice.
It was just, he was drinking, you know? And he said, yeah, it'll be cool. I'd be outrageous. I'm going to get a beer mug tattoo. He's that guy. So when this videotape came to light, we found out that beer mug, in another life, when was this?
This was 2006 in college.
2006. Yeah. He's doing the news on a local channel.
Like cable access channel,
yeah.
By the way, so professional looking with an actual set, and you're sitting there with your co-host, and you're both dressed up fancy like real news people doing actual news. It doesn't look like it's – I mean, it looks far too professional to be cable access. Usually that stuff's pretty amateur.
I agree. I was shocked by how good – I was a little disappointed by how good it was. We put up the video if you want to see it at kevinandbean.com. It's beer mug wearing a suit. That throws me right off to begin with.
Me too.
Second of all, his co-host is pretty hot.
She sure is. And it also was shocking to me because beer mug is 27 years old, and we have often joked that he looks about 50.
Yeah.
And how old are you in this thing? You've got to be like 22 or something like that.
Yeah, I was about 25.
Okay.
Yeah, around there.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you said it was 2006.
When did things go right to hell?
That's what I'm saying is sometime between when this video happened and now, apparently he's lived like 40 years. I don't know what happened.
Well, the day after St. Patrick's Day, he did wake up in a bush.
True.
So maybe it has something to do with that. Here's a little bit of the newsman beer mug audio. So they start with a very serious news music. And all I can think is if I'm sitting next to that girl, that's all I can think about is getting in her pants. Let's be honest. That's all I can think about. So when you say things like you say, then I think, oh, maybe he's directing that at her.
Coming up in this edition of Valley View News,
coming up in this edition of Valley View.
He's got his news voice on.
What happened to that? The guy that's licking the floor in the bathroom to see what the stain is. What happened to that guy?
Wait, that guy is the same as this guy?
Sounds pretty outrageous.
That's the same guy?
Absolutely.
Coming up in this edition of Valley View News, a military mom and her loss in Iraq.
We'll show you a former engineer who likes to get his hands sticky.
All right. Yeah. At that point, I'm thrown off. Like she said sticky, I'm out. I don't know what's next, but I'm going to blow it.
And a documentary about female camera workers.
A documentary about female camera workers.
Here's what I point out in the post at KevinDeBean.com, and that is that when you get started, you're bad, A. I was way worse than Muggs. But B, you don't get to do the stuff you really want to do or put your own personality out there because no one cares. So you have to kind of do what they want you to do.
Right.
And, you know, convince
him. He's doing news.
Convince him that you really mean it and you're doing well. So he's trying to take it as seriously as possible. But listen to this next one.
More and more people are using the internet to buy a new home. Brian Perry has the story on how the real estate industry is handling the change.
All right. So physically, he's deteriorated a great amount. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to that guy? That guy that could actually just put a sentence out there.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not the guy to be saying anything. I get it. I make all these mistakes. But there's a great deterioration.
That's a lot of booze and weed between then and now.
Yeah.
I guess so. I heard Muggs try to promote one of his little sticker appearances the other day with the van. I don't know if we got that tape, but we were supposed to have that tape. But, I mean, he can barely put a sentence together anymore. And back then, it sounds like he's reading competently off a teleprompter. And everybody understands what he's saying.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well, maybe he didn't write. Did you write it?
No.
Oh, well, there you are.
It doesn't matter. Still, he's reading.
It does.
Still, he was reading his notes when Bean was talking about that intro.
But he wrote his notes.
Yeah, all right. Here's the problem.
And after the break, we will be taking a look at ex-NASA engineer's sweet business.
Oh, nice. You're thinking sweet business. I'm going to get your pick. It's a beekeeper. It's a story about a bee. Keeper.
The honey business can be a sticky one with its ups and its downs.
Yeah. Now, I'm disappointed in you because at that point, don't you look over and go,
ups and downs.
And sticky. About?
Sticky.
You know what I'm talking about, Aaron? You know that? Ups and downs?
The honey business can be a sticky one with its ups and its downs. Valley View's Aaron Briscoe went to the honey farm and found out why Bennett's business has been such a sweet success for almost 30 years.
And then he tosses it to the girl who's sitting next to him, and she does a story that doesn't involve much honey business. And then she tosses it back to herself in the studio.
Well, it's a small staff. And speaking of small staffs, Spearbug, you tried to go out with her, but were not able to?
Yeah, what happened with that? Because that was my first thought was she's pretty hot. He's 20.
Yeah, I was around.
Whatever.
I was a young lad.
And anyway. I'm thinking to myself, he must have spent every second trying to sound professional, but figuring out how to get down with her.
She was definitely the most attractive girl probably at the school.
Right.
And she had a boyfriend the whole time. And
that shouldn't slow a guy like you down.
Yeah, the farthest I got with her was very minute flirting. That's it.
Wow.
How's that the farthest?
Yeah, very game.
Not even just like average flirting. The farthest he got was very minute flirting.
Yeah.
That's not.
You gave up pretty early in the game,
no
dude.
Kidding. Yeah, I did. Come on now.
I didn't have any game.
Did you have a sign off? Did you say,
yeah?
That's your news. That's your news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what happened to this guy?
Rise Against coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, some Bob Marley man, Foo Fighters and Killers next hour.
Can I hear some more of your raga voice, please?
I would like to hear that too.
Bob Marley man, that's fine. I'm not going to make fun of every single word that comes out of my mouth. It's Bob Marley man.
I wouldn't go with that.
That's all I'm saying. Top of the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Contagion did very well for itself. $23.1 million in its debut week. Made it number one by far. The Help came in at number two after being knocked out of the number one slot by the new Steven Soderbergh virus movie. $8.7 million was good enough to make it number two. Then Warrior, in its debut, made $5.6 million. It was number three. The Debt and Columbiana rounded out the top five. Rise of the Planet of the Apes was six. Shark Knight 3D was seven. Apollo 18, Our Idiot Brother, and Spy Kids 4D rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend.
Lowest box office of the entire year, I heard, Ralph, this past weekend.
There you go.
I wonder if football has something to do with NFL. That. People have something to do on Sunday.
I'm guessing.
And college football on Saturday, too, for a lot of people.
Couple notable passes this weekend. Cliff Robertson passed away, Academy Award-winning actor who recently probably best known for playing Uncle Ben in the Spider-Man films with Tobey Maguire. Won an Oscar in 1968 for the film Charlie, based on the popular book Flowers for Algernon. And Andy Whitfield died at the age of 39 years old this weekend. Andy was the star of Spartacus, Blood and Sand, over there on the Stars Network, and he passed away in his home in Sydney, Australia, 18 months after being diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma. So, that's sad news. He was good. That show was good. I liked him. They've recast the role, so there will be a new Spartacus on that show. Ryan Gosling, like most of us when we were kids, would see a movie, and then you'd want to act out that movie and be the hero of the film you saw. You know, I remember when I saw Rocky, I was shadow boxing on my way out of the theater, and Indiana Jones, I was jumping on rocks and swinging around. His movie was Rambo. Loved seeing Rambo. After he saw First Blood, he wanted to be Rambo. So he thought it would be clever to take the family steak knife set into school the next day and throw them at fellow students.
Sweet!
And did he shout,
"It's over! Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!"
Throwing steak knives at other kids.
How old was he?
Doesn't say here, Lisa. He said he was just a kid, so I don't know.
The other kids are like, "Hey, what's with the knives?"
Oh, nuts, isn't it?
A little nuts.
A little.
Yeah.
You would shadow box.
He's throwing knives.
I wasn't punching other kids like Rocky. Box, right. I was, you know, I wasn't attacking kids. I was throwing steak knives at kids. Told you something untrustworthy about this Gosling. I'm telling you, something's bad. Something bad's going to happen from him.
You think?
As a result, his mom and dad outlawed him seeing any more action movies. And he was only allowed to watch movies based on the Bible or nature documentaries.
Wow.
Okay, that did ruin him.
Wow.
That's something, isn't it?
Wow. That's a shocker.
He saw a documentary on monkeys and he started throwing his poo at other kids at school. That was the only problem. The Kardashians' New York City store had to be shut down Thursday night at the Fashion Night Out event because the crowd went berserk. Not for the Kardashians.
Okay.
But because DJ Pauly D from the Jersey Shore was spinning inside the store.
Oh, my God.
The crowd jumped the barricades to get at him. They were in a frenzy to see DJ Pauly D.
Hit it, Pauly.
Pauly D from Jersey Shore! Caused a riot.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
That's awesome.
Is he that good a DJ?
No.
No, he's just that guy on that TV show.
He's on Jersey Shore.
Well, Ralph has told us in the past, surprisingly, that Pauly seemed to have a DJ career even before Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
Even before Jersey Shore.
A lot of people play at clubs.
Right. Yeah,
he was like working in a bar. I mean, yeah, he was getting a paycheck, but he's not a great DJ. You can work bar mitzvahs and weddings too, you know.
Then he GTL'd it, and now it's right to the moon. That's crazy.
Riots for Pauly D.
The guards were probably like, "You guys know it's just Pauly D, right?
Kid from Jersey Shore in there, right?" Yeah. Sex and the City fans, congratulations. The long-awaited and much-talked-about prequel series has been picked up by the CW network. We'll now see the adventures of a young Carrie Bradshaw back when she was just a colt. Or a filly, I guess, in her case. Her senior year of high school in the early 1980s, based on the Candace Bushnell books, The Carrie Diaries, that are prequels to the Sex and the City books.
Nope.
No word on casting yet, but the CW's committed, so we'll see that on the TV screen near us soon.
Now, Lisa, you're the only person I know who actually is a Sex and the City fan. Would you have any interest at all in prequels on TV?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Because you like those women.
I do, and the original was on HBO, so it was much racier.
Yeah. Yeah, so we should put it on HBO so we can watch teenagers bang.
Yeah.
You don't have Lisa.
Bang, bang, bang.
Are you doing good? Yeah, exactly.
Come on. And did you hear about the plus-size model competition American Apparel's having?
No.
They decided to have a plus-size model competition. Now you've heard about
Whoopi Goldberg, winner.
No, they're looking for sexy, large women. And one large, sexy woman named Nancy Upton took some umbrage to their contest. She thought it was rude the way they were positioning it positioning it particularly, saying it was degrading and sort of made fun of plus-sized women.
Plus-sized is the nicest way to say that.
Yeah, but they asked for women large, by the way, which is like size 10, like 8 or 10, and the average size, I think, for women in America is 12 to 14, something like that.
8 to 10?
Yeah. They were talking about women who's got a little junk in the trunk and the XL-ent talent, XL, extra large. And so what she did was she took a series of comedy photos that she thought were so over the top they would point out the absurdity of this contest.
She was going to teach him a lesson?
Entered the contest with these absurd photos of her, like, in a bikini, slathering herself with ranch dressing in a tub and, like, eating chocolate syrup out of the bottle, slathering it all over the floor in her kitchen.
Sweet.
And rubbing cherry pie all over herself. And she thought this would mock the competition if they put these photos up on their website. Well, it looks like she's going to win the competition and become the new plus-size spokesperson for American
fat.
Now, fatty. Will she accept that?
No word on whether she'll accept or not, but she is the front runner on the online contest. She is getting the most votes. So
I want girl that slathers herself in food to win.
I'm guessing you can go to AmericanApparel.com if you want to go on the website there and see. But she's
fat.
It's not really. She's big, but she's not like obese or anything. She's obviously got a good sense of humor, and she is kind of sexy, so.
Shut up, giant fat woman!
Whether she'll take the gig or not if she gets it. But some people just can't be shamed, I think, is the moral of the story here. American Apparel may be one of those companies. Today's celebrity birthday is Joey Pantoliano. Joey Pants! Very talented actor, 60 years old today. Rush drummer Neil Peart is 59. Ben Folds, musician, is 45. Speaking of Ben Folds, you know, he worked and works with William Shatner.
He did
Has Been with him, and he's got a new album out called Meeting Major Tom, Chasing Major Tom, something like that, where Shatner does all covers of space-related pop songs. I don't know if you've heard any of them or not. Maybe we might have to play them the next time. Right. Maybe I'll grab some clips, and we'll talk about them. But they're magic!
Also, remind me later.
Little Iron Man, if I could make a request, Ralph.
Also, oh, that's the least of all of them. You got to hear his Bohemian Rhapsody.
I haven't heard that.
That's the slam dunk. That is the hit off that double disc set, by the way.
Yes.
Double disc set.
Space Cowboy by Steve Miller. Another strong one. She Blinded Me with Science.
Sweet.
Oh. It's a magical thing. We might have to play a couple clips. Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry, you were saying, Kevin, speaking
I was going to say, we also need to talk about our breakfast with Ben Folds. Which happened a long time ago.
That's right.
It was one of the weirdest things that's ever happened.
That's right. We should have a breakfast with Shatner if he's got a new album coming out. How can we not have breakfast with the Shat?
Fine with me.
I would love that so much.
Comes out in October. We should look into that. What am I doing? I'm just saying goodbye. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with Pete.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the show later on today. Also, our friend Joe Levy, who is the editor-in-chief of Maxim Magazine. What must that be like? And also, isn't he a judge on some karaoke show, too?
He is. Karaoke USA Battle Night.
For the world.
For the world.
Comedian Jay Moore in studio tomorrow. Adam Carolla later in the week. Funny man Paul F. Tompkins will be here. Jason Mayhem Miller. Dr. Drew. Olivia Munn. I mean, we got a lot of great stuff this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. About some of these new TV shows that I've been seeing the commercials for that look so funny. Wow. And I have a couple of girlfriends that I love that I'm very excited about being on TV. Whitney Cummings is one of them. Very excited about her new
By
show.
By girlfriend, you mean you like her from a distance and she doesn't know you exist.
Exactly. Okay. And just, you know, women that I'm a fan of and I'm excited to have on my TV every week.
Right.
Kat Dennings is in that new show that looks so funny and I love her so much.
Okay.
You know, she's Nora from Nick and Nora.
Right.
And then there's Zooey Deschanel, who, I gotta be honest, I just think, I don't know how you get better than Zooey Deschanel. She's so beautiful. She's so hot. She's so talented. She's so funny. She's so sweet. I love everything about her. And the premise of this new girl show is that she ends up moving into an apartment with three dudes.
But they're not attracted to her. They bring her in because she has supermodel friends, which is, that's unbelievable to begin with. Because although I don't love her with the passion that Bean does, like, I'm not going to show up on her doorstep someday and then have the police called. She's strangely, weirdly, really hot.
Did you see Elf?
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, of course.
Did you see Elf?
Yeah.
How could you not fall in love with Zooey Deschanel after Elf?
I did, but I'm just saying I'm
not talking about stalker level either. What I am talking about is imagine, and I know it's imaginary, I know it's a TV show, but this has to happen in real life too. Imagine you're a bunch of guys living in a guy apartment,
and you have an opening for a roommate. And Zooey Deschanel shows up and says, I want to live with you guys. What must that be like?
I guess that's what we're going to take calls on.
At first, it must be like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing.
And then immediately go to an electronics store and buy all kinds of surveillance equipment.
Yes, exactly, Kevin.
You tell her, you can move in a week. And then you bring in teams 24/7 to install video cameras.
No, that flashy light is a smoke detector. No, you would spend all of, if you had an unbelievably hot roommate, somebody that you found unbelievably attractive, and you had no relationship with them beyond a roommate relationship, if you're a guy, wouldn't you be spending all of your time trying to figure out, A, how can I see this person naked, and B, how can I get this person to have sex with me because they're right under my roof? Because you're in bed at night, she's on the other side of the wall, and she's Zooey Deschanel. That would drive me crazy.
Do you still have a wife?
No, you know what? You guys know what I'm saying,
yes,
though.
But you're acting like a guy who's never seen a girl before.
I'm just saying. You're living with hotness is what I'm saying. I want to know what that must be like. And I bet we have Kevin and me listeners who are guys who have had hot, hot chicks who live with them as platonic roommates. I want to know what that's like. Now, producer Alex says that the same would be true in reverse. If you're a girl and you have a really, really attractive dude, it's hard for me to get my head around that scenario. Like, because it seems like the girl could just walk down the hall in her, you know, undies and make that happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
It really
does. You guys always think that's the way it works.
You in my room now.
You know what I mean? I don't think the girl would be laying there with the same sense of how am I going to climb this mountain, because the girl can easily do it. The girl just has to step out in the hall naked.
There's also something weird about guys and their competitive nature, mm-hmm. where if Zooey Deschanel moves in and there's three of you, you know, which one of you is going to make that happen first?
Right.
Oh, that changes everything, really? Now you're on the clock? You got to be the first to make it happen?
I'm only speaking for myself, but it does seem like maybe it's because if you don't get there first, you don't get there.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, maybe if...
Because then she's spoken for.
Right. Exactly.
If she hooks up with
now,
one of the other guys.
Now you're friends with the guy or whatever. Now it's you'll still do it, but you feel bad about it.
And I think you're absolutely right, Kevin, and I totally think about that. Every time one of these shows with a team comes up, whether it's Survivor, it's Big Brother, it's The Apprentice, whatever show it is, if there's a really hot chick, you know that every guy on that show is thinking, I've got to figure out a way to be with this person ahead of all these others. But I want to know the details of what it must be like for you in that situation. Is that a workable situation, or does it create so much misery and turmoil in your life
misery?
That it's not even worth living with a hot chick?
What are you talking about? What misery?
Well, what if you can't make it happen?
So
is it
what?
Just an exercise in frustration every single day?
No, it's a fun exercise.
Maybe you have accepted failure more easily than I have. But
I don't think the failure rate's the same.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying that it would be more trouble than it is worth for me at a certain point if you had a really, really hot roommate and it wasn't going to happen.
If my failure rate was your failure rate, if anyone on the planets was yours, they would be depressed.
How dare you?
That's all I'm
saying. All right. So here's the telephone number. 1-800-520-1067.
Forgot to mention, these guys may not be attracted to her, which is absurd, but she also has nothing but supermodel friends. Here's a clip from the new show, New Girl.
I'm tired of living with my friend. She's a model. All her friends are models.
How soon can you move in?
Yeah, that's...
No, I see.
That is typical. So even if you're not necessarily attracted to her, all of her friends are supermodels, then you think, oh, you want to invite them over for dinner? Yeah, let's have dinner tonight.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're working her and her friends.
Right.
So 1-800-520-1067, would you crawl across the door floor with your tongue out like Bean? Would you install cameras and drill a hole in the wall like me and without a drill?
You guys are disgusting.
call us. We'll talk to you.
We're talking to you if you had a hot roommate. Like, I guess we're taking calls from girls, too, with hot guy roommates. But in my mind, I'm thinking, just like the new Zooey Deschanel show, she moves into your apartment. How much must that turn your life upside down?
Also, by the way, if you were the hot girl, what was that like living with three guys who were trying to, you know, win?
Right. Let's try John to get us started here. He's online too. 1-800-520-1067. I think it'd be more trouble than it's worth, frankly, to have a hot roommate. I really do.
You're but crazy.
Let's see what John says. Hi, John. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What's going on?
What it do?
What to do, baby boo?
Hello.
Got it? Okay.
Hey, now. Okay, so check it out. About 13 years ago, I moved to California, and I... What?
Yeah. Get to the point where you have roommates.
I had a roommate. She was 38. I was 25. She looked exactly like Vanna White in her good years.
Okay.
And all the... she had a young daughter, so she was always home every night, but all the time she would dress up in these... It was tight sweats, and she would wear a tank top and a bra, but that didn't matter because she was at least like a 36D, and so she would do the dishes, and from across the dish sink, I would be talking to her from the bar stool where the counter was.
Right.
Constantly leaning over, I was nightly getting a superior glance of something that made me take matters into my own hands later on that night.
Right. Now, did she know this? Did you ever pursue that?
Well, you know, for the sake of not troubling the waters, I didn't want to, hook up with her and then have it become, like, 13 o'clock all the time.
Weak.
Hey,
okay.
You know.
Weak.
John, answer this question for me. In retrospect, was it more trouble than it was worth? Did it make you miserable having this hot chick around all the time that you could never be with? Or was it worth it just for the eye candy and the fact that you had something pleasing to the eye to look at every night?
Look, if I had money, then I would totally have moved on that and moved out.
What? Oh, I see. You would have tried to hit that, and then if it made things weird, you would have moved out.
Right, but I just couldn't afford to live anywhere else, so I was stuck in that situation.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks for the call, John. You are priceless, my friend. Appreciate
it. What year did you move?
Let's try Bobby. Now, Bobby is on line 4. He had an interesting approach with the hot chick that he was living with. Hi, Bobby. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good. Lisa May.
Hi.
Okay, straight to the point. Basically, I was looking for a roommate. I found a hot chick that I went to class with, known her for a while, but she didn't want a roommate with any guy, so I pretended to be gay. She always thought I was gay because I was clean cut, always matched
Sweet.
Everything.
Sweet! What a great idea! And she could,
brilliant.
She could talk to you, and she could dress in front of you.
Oh, of course. That's the only reason why. She said, I'll roommate with the chick, but I just don't like the drama, and I don't like the drama of a guy. Well, I'm like, hey, well, I'm gay, so, you know, it's not like I'm going to do anything. And she would be like, okay, cool. So she would walk around in the nude, she'd be like, well, what do you think this looks like? How do you like this wax? And it was just the greatest.
But were you able to pull off being gay for that long? I mean,
you couldn't bring any girls back to your apartment, or she couldn't know that you were dating any girls. How'd you handle that?
Oh, no. I would be the type of person that would be like, let's go to your place because I have a roommate who's a girl, and I just don't want to make her feel uncomfortable. But the best part of it is she was going to live there for 3 months, and then she was going to move to a transfer to a different school. So she got super drunk one night and was like, oh, come on. Like, don't you wonder what it's like to be with a girl? And I kind of was like, okay, this is the perfect opportunity.
She seduced you based on the fact that you were lying about being gay, and she wanted to see if she could turn you.
Exactly. And so I'm not going to lie to you. She turned me. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is
amazing.
She didn't
turn you. You weren't gay.
Girls were like this. Like, you showed me the light. And to be honest, best sex I've ever had.
This is unbelievable. Seriously. Come on.
You're my hero.
That is awesome. Thank you very much for the call. Wow, that worked out better than we could have imagined. Let's try David real quick, line 5. David, how hot was your former roommate?
Pretty hot. She was featured in Playboy.
Okay, there's that.
Now, yeah. Did you know that before she moved in, or did you find out afterwards?
I found out afterwards. I guess back in 2006, 2007, Playboy was running a Girl Next Door.
Right.
And I didn't know about it. My friend who collects Playboys saw her, and I didn't know about 6 months into the when she moved in.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And was it, tell me what it was like living with a hot chick and not having any kind of romantic relationship with her.
Can I answer that? He didn't try.
Yeah.
He didn't try.
Well, I just wondered, did you spend all of your time putting in surveillance equipment like Kevin would?
Well, actually, she was a tomboy. She dressed in overalls, really nothing too much. Her friends would come over, and those were the ones I tried more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up hooking up with a couple of them because I was a culinary student at the time.
You didn't hook up with any of them, let's be honest.
I believe him. If he's a culinary student, he could cook for a lady, man. That's the way to go, right, Lisa?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Studying pastries, so.
All right.
Every night I would make desserts.
Very nice. Thank you for the call. Let's try one more. How about Peter? I'm terrified to see where Peter's story ends up where I think it's going. But welcome to the Kevin Bean Show on line 3.
Hey, Peter.
Good morning.
Hot roommate. What'd you do?
Well, I answered a call for roommates in on Ventura Boulevard in L.A. And when I got to the house, they had a ramp at the front door, which was incredibly curious about. And when I walked in there, they were both in wheelchairs,
mm-hmm.
but they were both gorgeous.
Yeah.
And everything went good for about 2 weeks, and then we decided to have a drink together, all three of us. And
no way. You're going to tell us that you had sex with both paraplegic roommates.
Not at the same time. No, not the first night. The first night I hooked up with one of them, and then about a week later, I hooked up with the other one. The other one was out of town visiting family up north.
Okay, hold on a second. Why were they in wheelchairs? Were they paralyzed from the waist down?
Yes.
So could they feel it at all, or did you not care?
I didn't really care, to be honest with you.
Did they? did they know? did they know that that was happening?
No. Well, of course, yeah, absolutely. They kind of approached me with the first one approached me about a week into me moving in.
All right.
And it worked out for the best.
Or just paraplegic roommates. That's a tough one to swallow.
That's tough. That's what she said. Yeah, that's a tough.
Who want to have sex, though they can feel nothing.
Welcome to the Twilight Zone, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't think Peter's telling the truth.
I don't either.
Oh, I'm calling you a liar, Peter.
Glad we're playing Foo Fighters here on the Kevin and Bean Show, because a band like that, now you're interested in a Michael Jackson tribute concert, right? Start to get some A-plus level entertainment in there. Now maybe you got yourself a show. You got a fitting tribute to Michael Jackson, right?
Are the Foos involved?
Well, unfortunately, no, Kevin. The concert that we've been hearing about through Ralph's Showbiz report over the last couple of weeks is going to be held in Wales in October. They do have
Wales?
I don't know.
Is that so hot?
Is that the hotbed of concerts all of a sudden? What happened?
I don't know, but they do have British boy band JLS performing. Also, Alien Ant Farm will be there because they did that one Michael Jackson song. So we wanted to find out what the hell is going on with these weak-ass Michael Jackson tribute concerts. We asked producer Alex if she could fire up the Hotline to Heaven, which, as you know, you have to turn on about 4 hours early in order for it to connect. But I believe we have Mr. Jackson in heaven right now. Michael, hello.
Whoa! Woo!
How are you, Mike?
Get out! I'm doing well. How are you, Kevin?
Very good. Thank you.
Great.
Well, we're fine, but we're frankly confused by these. Aren't there two Michael Jackson tribute concerts being planned at the same time by different branches of your family?
I believe you're confused. One is a tribute concert that's a one-time event.
Right.
Happening in Cardiff, Wales.
Okay. Why Cardiff, Wales?
Because, as everyone knows, Wales is the home of R&B music. That is where R&B and pop are most appreciated, and really, it's the cradle. It's where it all happened.
I had no idea.
Of course, Berry Gordy did Motown Records out of Cardiff.
I believe that was Detroit, wasn't it? Was that Detroit?
The Supremes were all born there in Wales.
No. That is not true either.
No.
And the Temptations, they were born in Wales.
Is that the only place that would host this?
I believe there's some sort of tax break.
Okay.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Now, you do have Smokey Robinson, who was your longtime friend your whole life. He is performing. That at least kind of makes sense. He's one of your Motown family members. But the rest of the lineup is, frankly, a little weak for somebody who's as influential an artist as you were, Michael.
Smokey will show up at the opening of a 7-Eleven if you give him a 12-pack and a carton of smokes.
I see. Okay.
He is not picky.
Okay.
The other members of the lineup, I believe CeeLo's going to be there.
All right, he's popular.
That's only because his arms weren't long enough to type no to the email response. They just assumed he was coming. Right. So Christina Aguilera, she heard there was going to be a buffet.
Okay.
So she showed up.
Hmm.
And I heard Jamie Foxx has been added to the lineup.
Oh, Jamie Foxx, okay.
Yes. Now, I'm not saying he's a gold digger.
Right. Okay. What are you saying?
But he's not messing with...
Just be careful. Be careful. All right. So that's the concert that's happening October 8th, I think, in Wales. And then other members of the family, like maybe Tito and LaToya or something?
No,
or Rebe?
LaToya's doing the Wales show.
Okay. That's LaToya.
Why do I have to do all the research for this bit?
Because it's your family, and I can't keep...
Man. You're the straight man. You tell the story, and then I come in with the comedy.
Then you react.
But here I am giving the details of the story, and you guys aren't saying anything funny, as far as I can tell.
Well, we're not helping if that's what you're saying.
This is not
This is not the ideal dynamic for right. comedy segment.
So let me try it again. Let me try it again. So other members of the family are not participating in Wales because they're doing their own show, and that includes your brother Tito and your sister Rebe, right?
First of all, I don't have a sister named Rebe. That's a ridiculous name. Who would name anyone Rebe?
She had a singing career for a little bit, I think. I mean,
oh, she didn't.
She didn't.
You
she
are
had
being
a
fooled like everyone else by this fake tour.
Okay.
A,
oh,
a
this
Jackson
is not a
named
real...
Michael.
That's the name of it. A Jackson named Michael.
I heard about this, but first of all, Tito.
Tito.
Is there a Tito?
Yes. You
yes.
Have a brother,
your
Tito.
Brother Tito. He was in the Jackson 5 with you. For God's
are
sake.
Are we a Latin salsa group now? The Jackson 5. No. And the rebar is something you used in construction.
No.
No. No.
Woman's
this is
name.
This is Rebe, and it actually is going to be a tribute to you, and they're going to show all sorts of previously unseen movie footage, pictures of you, home movies of you growing up
Thank
in Gary.
God they're going to show some pictures of me, because you just can't find a good picture of Michael Jackson anywhere. If only there was a source you could go to that, well, your computer was connected to all the information of other computers, and you could find a picture of me.
That's difficult.
A photograph.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
The biggest name in the touring production of A Jackson Named Michael is your good friend Denise Williams. She's
Niecy?
The super. Yeah, she's the superstar singer who's going to be out there
I
with the group.
I love Niecy.
Do you?
Remember that hit she had in that Footloose soundtrack?
Yeah, I sure do.
Oh, I used to love listening to that song. It'd give me a cramp right down there in my ankle.
Oh, this is it? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. 95, PGC. I still love that song. From Niecy. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Look, you're dead and you're mocking me. What's that about?
I am going to look forward to the A Baxter Named Bean Tour, where people will go on the road and tell stories about Bean Baxter. What an amazing broadcaster he was. Maybe they'll play this bit.
Probably not.
Probably not.
I'm guessing.
We're going to talk to Joe Levy coming up after the top of the hour. He is the editor-in-chief of a magazine called Maxim. New issue on newsstands this week. Who's the most hated man in sports is one article. A polar bear ate my head. And secrets of lesbian sex. Those are just some of the articles in the new Maxim that we'll discuss with Joe. Plus, I guess there's some pictures of some girls or something, too, coming up. All right, time for the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph Garman.
No guy can write an article about the secrets of lesbian sex, by the way.
I think they interviewed actual lesbians.
Well, they're not telling you.
They won't tell you the secret?
No, lesbians aren't going to tell guys the secrets.
Yeah.
They're going to keep it for themselves. And you can never catch them in the wild to watch. That's the problem. It's hard to observe
the woods?
Them in the wild. Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
They hide their nests very, very carefully. They camouflage their nests. You can't.
Don't they live in houses and apartments just like the rest of us, Ralph?
See, shows you how little men know about lesbian sex.
Wow,
just that comment right there just proves it. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. Contagion was number one. The new Steven Soderbergh film made $23 million, just a little over that, actually, in its first weekend, making it number one at the box office by far. The next biggest box office movie was The Help at number two, with only $8.7 million, so you can see the drop-off there. Warrior was third.
Warrior's great. It's one of my favorite movies of the year.
No,
Rocky
here we go.
Great.
Here we go.
It's as good as Rocky.
Oh, okay.
The original.
All right. We'll see how many Oscars it gets nominated for.
Kevin said it was better than The Fighter while you were out of the room, Ralph.
It was. Okay. This is Kevin, people. Do
it
I have
was.
To remind you who's talking?
It was.
Do I have to I'm remind
not
you?
I'm not the only one saying that. I wasn't going to go because I was afraid of the brother fighting brothers, like gimmicky.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
It's a great movie.
I'm saying it's not Rocky and it's not better than The Fighter is what I'm saying.
Did you see it?
No.
I'll listen to you when you've seen it.
All right. But you did see it.
Yes, I saw it.
And yet we still can't believe you.
Well, you know my tastes are questionable.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. But I'm saying this is great.
The Debt is fourth, Columbiana fifth, Rise of the Planet of the Apes came in at number six, and then Shark Knight 3D, Apollo 18, Our Idiot Brother, and Spy Kids 4D rounding out the top 10 at the box office this week. I'm going to see where it just goes. Nick Nolte's in it.
He's fantastic.
I'll help you, kid. Don't worry about it. I don't even know why you're getting in the ring with that guy.
He's going to get an Oscar for that performance. Watch.
Someone writing down all these quotes because...
Watch.
I get the feeling the Warrior people will be calling for the DVD box.
If and when he does.
When Nick Nolte wins an Oscar for this performance,
yes.
Then what will you give me?
I will give you a crisp $20 bill.
All right.
How about that?
I'll write that down.
All right.
Here, bud, please save this tape, would you?
Got it.
Crisp $20 bill.
It needs to be crisp, too.
I'm going to print it myself. That's how crisp it's going to be. While we're talking about awards, William Shatner's going to win a Grammy for his new album, Seeking Major Tom. The album doesn't hit store shelves until October the 11th, but I was able to hear some advance clips from some of the songs. This will be the greatest album ever released in music history.
Look, his last album from 5 years ago has been one of my favorite albums of in a long time, certainly of the last 10 years.
You want to say I've been
so excited about this new record.
Common People's a great song.
I don't know what you guys are talking
about. Common People.
Never heard of it.
You want to sleep with common people like me. This is right up Shatner's alley. You know, legendarily, he did that version of the Elton John song, Rocket Man.
Mm-hmm. Rocket Man.
And everyone sort of made fun of him for that because it was kind of a spoken word version. Well, he's re-recorded that for this album. This is a double disc set.
Wow.
It's about 18 new songs, and they're all covers of songs that have to do with space or sky or something like that.
Now, he doesn't sing ever.
Sometimes.
It's all spoken word? Oh, he
sometimes,
does?
Sometimes,
okay.
Yeah. All right. On some of the tracks, he does.
Okay.
Here's some of the examples of... he does Rocket Man again, as I mentioned. He does Space Cowboy by Steve Miller, who plays on the track. On his own cover, which is pretty cool. Spirit in the Sky, Walking on the Moon by Sting. Remember that song? Walking
sure.
on oh, the yeah. Moon.
Sure.
Learn to Fly, Mr. Spaceman, Twilight Zone, Iron Man he does. With
what?
Zach Wilde and Mike Inez from Alice in Chains. It's a great, great lineup. I brought in some tracks of some of my favorite songs. They're pretty spectacular. How about the little She Blinded Me with Science? Got 2 minutes.
I know. That was only 10 seconds.
She blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And failed me in geometry.
What the F is going on?
I love it. I love it so much.
What is happening there?
David Bowie's space classic, Space Oddity. You know that Major Tom?
This is Major Tom from Ground Control. I'm... stepping through the door.
Stepping through the door.
And I'm floating in a most peculiar way. And the stars look very different today.
What an unbelievably expressive voice he has. He's 80 years old, and I love listening to this guy talk and sing. I love it.
Wait till you hear Bohemian Rhapsody.
No! Way.
Which is the only song I can see that kind of breaks the theme of the album, which is space and stuff. I don't think Bohemian Rhapsody has anything to do with space, but it is the greatest thing you have ever heard.
Mama, just kill a man.
Wait.
Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead. Mama.
Nope. He's not crying.
Life had just begun. But now I've gone and thrown it all away.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Breakfast with Shatner.
Yes.
Come on.
Do it.
Let's do Breakfast with Shatner in October when this album comes out. He'll do some live versions of the songs. We'll have a nosh, a bagel, some cream cheese. We'll sit around and just worship the things that are William Shatner.
That's a bizarre, bizarre
Mama!
Project.
So awesome.
Today's celebrity birthday is Joe Pantoliano, who is 60 years old today. Musician Ben Folds, who Shatner famously worked with on his first album, has been, and I think works with him again on this album as well. He's 45 years old today. What happened to the breakfast with Ben Folds? We didn't get a chance to talk about that.
Well, we were doing it downstairs in the building at the time. We had a thousand...
Where the studio was, where the station
yes.
was. Okay.
And we had a thousand technical issues. I mean, they couldn't hear us. We couldn't hear them. The audience couldn't hear them. The audience couldn't ask questions. Nothing that we wanted to do was happening. And we were really upset because it's in our own building. How can not one thing work? How can we not at least hear the band, maybe?
You're not on location. You're in the same building.
Zero happened. And Bean got so upset that he stormed out
he
and went
out.
And got in his car and drove home.
He left. Yes.
He drove home.
That is a professional, baby. So, look it up. Look it up. So professional.
So I did the breakfast with them by myself about a half hour later when everything started working.
Oh, man.
You know how you get to a point where you're mad and then you're furious and then you're seething and then your head's going to explode. And then there's a level just past that where you're calm and tranquil again, where you're just in a, you're just in a, going through the motions of life at that point. And you just quietly unplug your headphones and you go, all right, guys, I'm going to just see you later. And then you just walk out the door and you drive away and pretend that none of it ever happened. That's where I was at that day.
And I found that really funny because Bean's not that guy who will ever, like, walk away, but he was so upset.
That's why Bean's the guy you want in a foxhole with you.
I loved it.
He's the first one to retreat.
It was that or it was murder. Those were my only two options that day, is I was going to murder some engineers or I was just going to leave the building. And I think I made the right decision.
But when you left, that made it all right for me, because now that's more bizarre than everything else that had been going on.
It's worth it just for that story, yes. I guess.
Ben Folds is 45, Jason Statham's 44, Paul Walker turns 38 years old today, Benjamin McKenzie of Southland is 33, Ruben Studdard also 33, Jennifer Hudson turns 30.
And how about that for the first time ever, a bell for Jennifer Hudson, by the way?
Yeah, she's got a big orange on a toothpick head now. It's very strange looking to me. And Emmy Rossum is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I can't move on until we hear the Shatner clip one more time. Is it possible you have it handy?
Mama, just kill a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead.
Oh, here comes the crying.
Dead, Mama. Mama. Life had just begun. But now I've gone and throwing it all away.
What's happening?
I need to hear the whole song. I need the Shatner album. All right. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Our friend Joe Levy is on the phone. He is the editor-in-chief of a little magazine that we like to call Maxim. Why? Because that's what it's called. Hey, Joe. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you for having me. I think that's an actual confession.
Could be.
I think he committed that crime.
It does sound realistic. He's very upset.
He's very believable. Isn't it unbelievable that he's 80 years old, Joe, the way he continues to reinvent himself with his acting and with his writing, with his directing and his stuff online that he's doing, his songs, his commercials? The guy's a miracle.
A wide variety of wigs.
Yes, well, there is that, too.
I'd like to suggest that we stop talking about Shatner and talk about Yvonne Strahovski.
Let's do that. Now, we have many questions for you, Joe. First of all, I hold in my hand the October issue of Maxim. When will this one be on newsstands, sir?
Oh, look for it this week. It is soon to arrive.
All right.
Okay. What is the editor-in-chief? Are you the guy who gives thumbs up or thumbs down to, say, the cover model each month?
My thumbs are very busy, and that is one of the things they do. Yes, that's one of my jobs, one of the happy parts of my job. And one of the really happy parts of this issue is that before we shot this cover with Yvonne Strahovski of Chuck and this excellent, excellent new movie, Killer Elite, she came up to the office to talk it over with us. So
what
a beautiful, tall Australian girl comes up for coffee just to hang out. That's a good day.
Should call us when that happens.
Now, is it a constant struggle with Maxim, with the cover models, where you're trying to get the sexiest photos possible, and they're trying to figure out how little they can show, I would imagine, in some cases?
Oh, no. No, I think you're describing my dating life in the 90s. But it's easier with the magazine. Much easier with the magazine. We are who we are. This magazine is about beautiful women. When women agree to be in the magazine, I like to think they know what they're getting into. And you know what? We have fun with it on both sides.
You do. And Maxim, I mean, nothing raises an actress's profile like being on a Maxim cover. I mean, you have really kind of carved out a niche for yourself as being that's the go-to place for the best possible photos of an actress.
Yes. I like to believe that's exactly right. And I also like to believe that there are a lot of people just about to hit that supernova status who come to us and have a little coming out moment.
Hang out and have some coffee. Here's what I love.
And then get into a bikini. It really is like my dating life in the 90s.
Here's what I love is the girl in the bikini that is holding a chainsaw. Now, that cracks me up because really there's no reason. Like, you're featuring a chainsaw, but it's really more about the model holding.
Actually, that's an excellent chainsaw.
Okay.
I don't really want to get into this.
Yeah, I don't care.
Really innovative. innovative new chainsaw that it's less like a traditional chainsaw, and it looks like a robot mouse.
Right, but
and in the recent hurricane in the East Coast, our creative director borrowed this chainsaw and cleaned up his yard.
Hey,
with
Joe.
It. But yes, that's a feature we call woman with a tool.
Hey, Joe. If you want me to pay attention to a chainsaw, don't put it in her hands in a bikini.
Well, for safety's sake, you're right. This may not be the proper operator's outfit. But every month we like to feature an excellent piece of machinery.
Right.
Held by a very, very beautiful woman.
And so no one sees the excellent piece of machinery.
Well, it is there. Let me see if
it
I...
It is there.
Oh, yeah, no. No, there it is.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about why is this new issue of Maxim the Sports Smackdown issue? What's sports-related this time around?
Oh, well, you know, this should be that excellent time of year when every major sport you can think of is about to kick into gear. We got football, we got baseball. We should be getting ready for the NBA. There's some sad reason why we're not, but we decided to do a sports spectacular this time out. We talked to everybody from, you know, like Lil Wayne to our sports guys about the best things in sports right now. We got 23 reasons why you still love sports, despite the fact that owners and managers try to get in your way sometimes.
And the feature photo is one of a soccer player. That's bold.
Well, you know, were you not watching the women's soccer? Were you not watching Americans women's soccer?
I was. I'm down with soccer, but I get mocked.
Oh, yeah.
You also, sports related, you also have a brilliant pictorial on the hottest wags in the world. Now, these are wives and girlfriends of professional athletes. And in some cases, and I thought this was very forward thinking of you, in some cases, the athlete themselves are in the wag pictorial.
Yes. Perhaps you mean pro golfer Sophie Horn.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice call.
Or Tracy Lynn Johnson, Tiki Barber's girlfriend, who is, she's saucy.
Saucy. Yeah, I like that.
Pictured and she's quite saucy.
I like that.
Some of these wags are unbelievable, particularly for the European soccer players. And the other article that you know caught our attention, Joe Levy on the phone with us, the editor-in-chief of Maxim magazine on newsstands this week with Yvonne Strahovski, on the cover, is the secrets of lesbian sex. Now, we were debating this last hour. Were you able to get lesbians to open up and tell you the real deal, or do you feel that they were just telling you something to keep their secrets still secrets?
No, I think if you read this, you will find that they actually are telling us the real deal. Our writer in this case is friends, as far as I know, only friends with our sex columnist, friends with many lesbians. We believed from talking with our own guys in the office that there were many misconceptions about the way that two women loved each other. And we decided to clear up these misconceptions and thought that it might make for some useful advice.
That is
for
a worthy
fellows who fumble in the bedroom.
That's a worthy, worthy cause.
But I have to tell you that information about how lesbians make love is as useful to me as how to handle no gravity on the moon. I mean, really, what are the chances that a guy is ever going to be able to use that information?
Really? Have you read the piece? Because there are several things that you yourself can apply if you have a real life lady in the bedroom with you.
No, when you say you yourself, you mean everybody except for Bean.
Yeah. How dare you?
That's why I said a real live lady.
Here's my other favorite thing in the magazine is there's two pages of a spread of you asking super hot chicks to friend you on Facebook.
Oh no, they're already our friends.
Oh, I see.
Those girls, that's last year's hometown hotties.
Oh, I got you.
We're asking you, the reader, to friend us because you might get to, you know, also interact with them.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But, yeah, I mean, I'm down with that.
All right, last question for you, Joe. I didn't get a chance to see this article on page 72. Skip the gym, live longer. To me, that is the article I've been waiting my whole life for. How can I do it?
You need to avoid all of these self-help pills and methods. What we did was we did a little roundup of things that people say are going to make your life better. They're going to help you lose weight. They're going to help you rid your body of toxins. They're actually going to kill you.
All right.
All of these things which are supposed to make life better can hurt or kill you. And so avoid them. Sit in your chair. Watch TV.
I like it. That's the kind of advice I can get behind.
This is the best advice I've ever heard.
And there's also an article on the man behind Moneyball, which, too, is fascinating. Yeah.
This is a really great piece. This is Billy Bean, who is played by Brad Pitt in the upcoming movie. And, you know, what we did was we talked to him not about the glory days of Moneyball covers, but his life right now. I'm sure one of you knows this. Billy Bean, huge soccer fan.
Yep. I'm aware of that.
He is revolutionizing the world's biggest game the way that he revolutionized baseball.
Well, it's another fascinating issue of Maxim, available everywhere, and there's a reason why Maxim is still in production, and lots of similar magazines have gone by the wayside in recent years. Pick it up on newsstands or check it out on Maxim online as well. Joe, great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, guys.
Funny man Jay Moore, this time tomorrow, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla later in the week. Ralph, I know you're excited. Paul F. Tompkins is going to be joining us in studio.
So funny.
Jason Mayhem Miller on the show. Dr. Drew, the beautiful Olivia Munn. So much show coming up. Too bad we're out of time right now.
Sorry.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Bean has Asperger's, and that's with a P, not a B.
Yeah.
And he can't really tell if his conversation is interesting to others. And if I could be so honest, he doesn't care.
I think he has learned that it isn't, and yet you're right, just keeps going anyway.
So we try to clarify for him certain statements that are made while we're playing commercials or songs, and you guys are listening to something great. We're listening to Bean's conversation. And when a Thanks for the Info Bean comes up, I write it down verbatim. Like when he was going on vacation last time, he said, "Guys, do I need to go to the Mustard Museum when I'm in Wisconsin?"
Now, tell me how in any office or any workplace in the world, people don't have conversations about things that they're thinking of doing on vacation, throwing it out there, getting some reaction. Maybe somebody's been. Maybe somebody has some advice.
To the Mustard Museum? That's the thing.
That's just regular conversation that regular people have in any workplace USA.
No.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
No. So Lisa May breaks the rule because we're not supposed to talk to Bean when he says stuff like this. And she says, yes. And he says, it just seems like that's too good a thing to just drive past.
And I said, yes, because
info Bean.
And by the way, the Mustard Museum was awesome. I can't wait to go back.
Could a museum about mustard be?
You are breaking their own rule. You are now engaging when you're not supposed to engage.
Sorry.
That's
shocking.
Info
shocking how good it is.
I'd like to pay attention to you guys and what you're talking about. Now, this is Bean's attempt at a burn
because
his life is better than ours at that moment.
Right.
I'd like to pay attention to what you guys are talking about, but I'm reading a tweet from the Grammar Girl. And then nobody said anything, and then Bean said, "Hey, you can't write that down." And then nobody said anything. And then Bean said, "Hey, this is a celebrity encounter that I'm proud of."
I wasn't just reading a tweet from the Grammar Girl. She had written me back about something that I had written her about.
So I was
very excited to have personal interaction with my personal hero, Mignon Fogarty.
So no one has said anything to this point. And then Bean starts to target people because he knows what's going on. Lisa, you're with me. She didn't say anything. And then Bean said, "This is BS."
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Well, I'm trying to talk, and I see you bringing this up. He doesn't know what BS is.
That's the problem. Just shut up about it.
You're reading a tweet from the Grammar Girl.
And you know no one cares. You know it.
You do know that.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
All right. What else?
Wait. Here's the question that there's just no answer to. If you wanted to discuss it, you could, but there's never going to be an answer. Well, why is Julianne Moore so hot?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Let's say, and I'm trying to learn. This could be a teachable moment.
You're not
let me ask the question, Ralph. I'm going to direct this at you since Kevin can't hear me. All right. What if I had said, "Hey, I just saw a trailer for that new Julianne Moore movie, That Stupid Crazy Love. It's unbelievable how attractive she is." Would that have been okay?
No, it's still not a conversation starter.
No,
really,
but it
I can't.
Is better.
It's better.
Come on, it's
it is better.
Better.
Yes.
Since when can't you say to coworkers how attractive a movie star is? Well, how is that not legitimate conversation in 2011?
But first of all, it's Julianne Moore, so she's hot, but she's a little older. But there's no answer to that question.
She's been hot forever. I mean, this is not news.
She's still hot.
So what do you want us to say about that?
That's my point.
It's not like you've discovered some new hot actress that we don't know about, and you're filling us in. She's been hot for 20 years and in movies for 20 years. So you're telling us she's hot and in a movie. What is that supposed to do for us?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
I can't believe what a savage tan the governor of Utah, John Huntsman, has.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, that piece of information, and Bean, I'm going to just say again, we don't need further clarification. That piece of information is the tan of the governor of Utah. I guess there was a debate on the night before.
A couple of nights ago, Republicans beat it. I had not seen him in a while, and I was surprised that a guy who lives in Utah would be so broad.
That's that info bean.
Savage tan.
Wow.
His tan is savage.
That Lisa, is... you saw the debate. Am I so lying then, about that?
Don't care.
That is flimsy language right there.
Nobody says anything, and then Bean follows that up with, the governor of Wyoming has a good tan, too. Now, the category is governors that have nice tans.
Tans of the governors.
And
for 100, Alex.
Lisa could no longer stand it, and she had to engage. Orange fake tan or real tan?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
God bless you, Lisa.
She's entered in the conversation of tan governors.
And I think I threw something at her at that point.
I believe
and
you
then,
did, yes.
And then finally, this all happened. And this is unbelievable. This all happened in the space of maybe a minute. Guys, I'm having a food disaster. Now, that's the kind of opening statement that we all hate because it demands a question. You can't just let that go. A food disaster. Not enough information. So you have to say, what's the food disaster?
And by
the way,
unless he's in Ethiopia or Somalia, he's not having a food disaster, by the way. He lives on an island. He's got a mansion there. He's fine. It's not a food disaster. I guarantee you.
Guys, I'm having a food disaster. Nothing. I don't have enough milk to cover my cereal. Nothing. Have you guys ever tried raw grape nuts? It's pretty tough. Nothing. Not done. Have you guys ever eaten raw grape nuts?
That's demanding an answer.
Nothing. And then he sees me trying desperately to keep up with all of this. And he says, hey, you can't write that down.
You must write that down. You don't understand. Bean doesn't understand that's your moral obligation.
Right, I don't have a choice.
That's right.
If you're going to do a half-hour monologue on not having enough milk to cover your grape nuts.
It was about 15
that's
seconds.
That info bean.
And I think you guys can
that's
feel
that
my
info bean.
My pain.
That's
of
that info bean.
Don't need more clarification, Bean. I'm saying the information that we got the first time is too much.
I'm just saying.
That's that info bean.
We need to get a court reporter in here. We need a stenographer.
I can't keep
There's no way you can keep up anymore with the amount of...
I'm like, beer mug, take some notes quick and help me out. I'm trying to figure this out. We need a stenographer. There's no way to keep up with it. Or Bean could slow it down. No, he can't slow it down.
Mondays on the Kevin and Bean Show, we like to catch up with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. They never sleep over there. Weekends, overnights, they're always working in the newsroom. Harvey, how was your weekend, my friend?
It was really good, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Do you you have a football team? Do you follow football at all? Are you as excited as we are that the NFL is back?
I'm not that excited, I got to say. I'm
not your sport.
Everybody else in my newsroom is. Everybody's in fantasy football but me.
Sure.
Well, don't worry about fantasy football. That's different than being a football fan.
No. Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Yeah. Right. Did you stick around, we were just talking about this off the air before we went to you, Harvey, to the end of the second game on Fox yesterday when they did that 8-minute preview of Simon Cowell's X Factor, which is debuting this fall. Did you see any of that?
I didn't see it, but I know about it. And
it was good. It was really good.
Do you know who's on? You know who's going to be on? He got a big score. You know who's going to be on that show?
Who?
Rihanna.
On a regular basis?
Not on a regular basis, but they have these. You know, they have this thing during the series where each of the judges can pick a celebrity to help kind of evaluate who should go on and become the contestant for each team. And she's going to be doing it with L.A. Reid, who kind of discovered her. So that's a pretty big get to get Rihanna for a show like that. So I think the show is going to do pretty well.
I will tell you that I have been perfectly fine in the last few years to just watch American Idol when it was on and then not think about singing competitions the whole rest of the year. Then The Voice came along, and that's a pretty good show.
I agree.
And now the X Factor comes along, and Simon Cowell does have the magic touch. He knows how to make compelling television. I saw this thing last night, and now I'm excited about this show. Is there a saturation point at which we don't need any more of these types of shows?
I mean, remember, you know, with these court shows, there were 11 court shows on at one time.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's enough of an appetite for this. I mean, it's basically entertainment. But Simon, he absolutely knows what he's doing. And this show is kind of tried and true because it was in just the way American Idol was, but really more X Factor. It was a hit in England and in other places. So they have the format down. I'm feeling the show's going to do really well.
I don't have the time to keep up with one of these karaoke shows, let alone five of them.
Yeah. But people watch it.
I know.
People watch it. They watch it.
Let's move along to some of our celebrities that we love to discuss, Harvey. You have been following with great interest, as have we, the fate of the Kim Kardashian sex tape. Now, who's out there trying to buy it, and what is likely to happen to it if it gets bought?
Well, I mean, look, we published a story that the president of Vivid Entertainment, Steve Hirsch, was contacted by somebody who wanted to buy it and essentially just take it off the market. He did not want to distribute it, just wanted to get the rights to it. So everybody assumed it was Kim Kardashian.
Right.
We published that story, everybody assumed it was her.
Right.
He now tells us it's not Kim or anybody associated with Kim, because she would be the likely person to want to remove that. But he says it's not her. So it still remains a mystery. The bigger question, I think, is that, you know, when anybody does something like this, they have to sign off, or the company that's distributing it's going to get sued.
Right.
So, you know, Paris has always kind of disavowed it and said, I never signed off. Kim said the same thing. But none of these companies have gotten sued, and it is that's actually Paris. They did file a suit, and then suddenly it mysteriously settled. So I guess the question is, what is Kim's position on all of this stuff? I'm sure she at this point doesn't want it, but I wonder if she's making any money off of
it. She's making huge dough off. Is it one of the best selling of all time?
Absolutely.
And isn't it too out there to somehow take it off the market? I mean, it's so many people have it.
It's going to be on a million file sharing sites, whether it's legitimately available on a website or not, right?
Well, no doubt about it. But I'm really shocked at this. But the person who basically runs this thing, I don't know if you remember, but they have a domain. The tape and the weekend that Kim got married, they had 2 million hits on this website, and people had to pay money to get it.
Yeah.
And they were doing it.
Yeah.
So there still is a market, although I agree with you. I mean, it seems like the train's kind of left the station, so to speak.
Is there a version of that sex tape where we cut out all of Ray J hogging up the camera and getting in the way of Kim Kardashian?
Well, there is a version where there are things cut out, for sure.
Oh.
Oh, you mean there's more footage than what we've seen?
Yeah.
And you've seen it?
No, I just know about
and
it.
And you have it?
No.
And can we come over today?
You know what, can I just tell you something?
Can we come over today?
Here's the thing. I can't stand it when I get your guys' emails after we talk. And it's like all day long you're badgering me for stuff.
Oh, just the good stuff.
But Harvey, because you've got stuff. Because you're plugged so in. Fun.
What are you doing about noon?
All right. What else are you interested in or working on? There's so many new stories over the weekend, but I don't know.
I love the Mel Gibson story.
Mel Gibson, yeah.
What's the update?
So Judah Maccabee, you know, one of the most famous Jewish heroes of all time, 2nd century BC. And Mel Gibson has been wanting to do a movie on Judah Maccabee for 10 years. So he's now teamed up with Joe Esterhaus. Warner Brothers has basically bought the rights to this thing with Mel Gibson. And they are working on this movie. So there are several Jewish groups that are coming out and saying that they feel Warner Brothers should pull this, that Mel Gibson shouldn't have the right to make this movie. And it's a big thing now, whether Mel Gibson should. I personally think Mel Gibson should absolutely be allowed to make this movie. I mean, I think that, you know, when you start telling people, oh, you don't have the right opinion about something, so you shouldn't be a filmmaker on that subject, it's a really dangerous thing. And my gut is, it's going to end up being a really good movie.
Well, look, the controversy, I couldn't help but draw this parallel, Harvey, and tell me if this is off base. Remember how much pre-production controversy there was about the book The Help, because it was written by a white woman. There were so many groups out there saying, how dare you try to tell the story of the civil rights movement from the black person's perspective when you're white?
Absolutely.
And it ended up being a beautifully done book that has just been universally adored by every black group there is out there, and now the movie has turned into the same thing. I mean, let the work speak for itself. If the movie is crappy and anti-Semitic, call them on it after the movie is made, right?
Oh, I totally agree. And it's like, you know, what do? You have a litmus test where, you know, Oliver Stone's not allowed to do Nixon because he's against Nixon. You know, at a point, you've got to let these guys make the movies they want to make, and then people can decide whether to see it or not. But my gut is that Mel Gibson, everybody says, oh, I want more contrition. Well, his art is filmmaking, and this is his ability to do, if there's a need to do contrition at this point, this is his ability to do it. And, you know, I kind of want to see what he would do with Judah Maccabee. I'd actually be interested in that.
This is enough contrition for me.
You should just smile and me.
That's all I need right there.
There you
and
go.
By the way, at what point has he apologized enough? He wrote all those public letters of apology. He did all those meetings with the Jewish groups,
right?
Yeah. I mean, it's at some point you do have to move on. I mean, forgiveness is supposed to be part of the Jewish faith as well. All right. Great stuff as always, Harvey. All the details at TMZ.com.
Oh,
check
can
your local
you listings. Can I tell
yes.
you something really fast?
Sure. Fast, yeah.
This is great. George Stephanopoulos, we just did a big thing. George Stephanopoulos, we're told there's a guy named Josh Elliott who is now the newsreader on Good Morning America.
Right.
And they really love this guy. So there's talk at ABC, although they're totally denying this. But we put the story up because we're hearing this all over ABC.
I saw it.
There's talk about moving George out and putting that guy in.
Why?
Because George is 5'6", and the other anchor, Robin Roberts, is 5'10". Josh is 6'3". So it's like short person discrimination.
They put the story up that George Stephanopoulos is too short for morning TV.
That's ridiculous.
That's absurd.
I love it.
Listen, as somebody who doesn't necessarily tower over anybody.
Yeah, you're not.
I can tell you.
You're not excessively tall.
Nobody has ever said, "Here comes Harvey. He's so tall."
No, but it's true. It's really true that there's this thing where guys should be taller than women on TV, and there's a whole like these consulting groups and all.
I think that's crazy.
I think it's crazy too, but I love it.
Okay. All right. We really do have to go, Harvey. TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ television. When in Hollywood, take the TMZ Hollywood tour. Buy tickets online as well. Talk to you next week. Thanks, Harvey.
See you guys.
See you noon.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some passes to give away to a very special advanced screening of Moneyball.
This looks good.
Looks good. Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill. Looks good. I like it.
Remember how weird it was the first few times you saw the skinny Jonah Hill? Now that I've been seeing him on my TV for the past couple months, every time they show a trailer for one of his movies that he filmed when he was still fat, it's shocking to me how big he is.
This movie is how he got skinny, because he and Brad Pitt were working together, and Brad said, dude, you have to lose some weight. And so Brad would take him to the gym with him every morning
really?
And gave him fitness tips and what to eat and how to work out, and started Jonah on the way to losing all that weight.
How about that?
So he has Moneyball to thank for his newfound health.
It's got to be a little...
He'll be hit by a bus tomorrow.
It'll be a little weird for Brad Pitt to be giving you advice. You go, look, I could diet all I want. I'm not going to look like you.
Yeah, but if you're going to get advice from someone, I would take it from him because sure. The guy certainly knows what he's doing.
Sure.
He's got that going on. So if you'd like to see the movie, I've got three pairs of passes right now for the advanced screening on Wednesday, September the 21st. And the movies in theaters everywhere Friday, September the 23rd to see Moneyball. Don't let the fact that it's about baseball scare you off. That's what I'm saying. Because this looks like a fascinating story about about a guy who changed the way the game really is not only played, but how teams are put together and
scouted and how they get players and stuff. It looks fascinating.
Fascinating stuff. So, Moneyball. Check it out in theaters everywhere on the 23rd of September. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Contagion was number one. Brand new film from Steven Soderbergh with Matt Damon. $23.1 million. Made it number one. I think people went just to see Gwyneth Paltrow die a horrible death. That's my guess.
That's my guess.
That's what you want to see her seize and, and die. I'd pay $15 if that's all they showed me. If it was a 2-minute segment, an IMAX 3D of Gwyneth Paltrow dying on a gurney, I would say, here is my money, sir.
Why do you hate her so much?
Good morrow to you, I would say. The Help, $8.7 million. Finally dropped out of the number one slot this week. Was number two. Then Warrior was number three at the box office, $5.6 million.
Unacceptable.
It made this weekend. Kevin really likes this movie.
That's a great movie.
But Kevin,
it's going to win all the Oscars they'll give out for the Grammys this year.
Just Nick Nolte.
You probably thought a lot of things like I thought when you saw the movie was coming out, is that's a limited appeal movie based on MMA fans.
Yeah,
and a lot of people won't go see it because of that, but you're saying it should find a much broader audience because the MMA is not even the biggest part of the film.
No, it's the backdrop for the emotional story, which is much, much better. And I wasn't going to go see it because I was a little afraid, like, brothers fight, come on. What are the chances of that? That looks gimmicky. But then I saw Joe Rogan tweet that it was great, and that the MMA part of it was great. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot.
I will tell you that our man Kevin is going to be on a DVD box, Ralph. When he said better than Rocky, they're going to put that on the box.
Oh, of course they will.
It's better than Rocky.
He promises me that Nick Nolte will win an Oscar for this role. All right.
What are you going to give Ralph?
Either him or Nick Swords.
Really proud of you, son. Really proud of you.
That's Bucky Lassick.
I don't even know why you're fighting your brother.
What are you going to give Ralph if he doesn't even get nominated for an Oscar, Kevin?
Ooh.
Well, it's a look. It's a long shot. Me going out on a limb here.
But I told you I'd give you $20 if he wins.
Right, I'll give you a buck.
A buck?
Yeah, it's 20-1 odds. Don't you think at this point in the movie season?
I thought you said you guaranteed
he's gonna
me.
Win.
Well, then if that is your take,
I'm not. It's not my. It's not straight up though. I'm not going to pay $20 to $20.
But come if on. You're but that you're, sure, you said he's going to win.
He is.
Well, then okay. You should easily be able to put up some money with no reservations
how
whatsoever.
Much, though? I'm saying I'm not going
$1,000.
Come on now.
We're talking about just being nominated, though, Kevin. Your bet is for him winning. Ralph is going to take just being nominated for an Oscar. He wants money from you if it doesn't even happen.
If he doesn't get nominated for an Oscar, I'll give you $20.
That sounds fair. All right.
If he wins, you should give me more.
There's no way I'm going to win an Oscar, I'll tell you right now. I'm not even going to be nominated.
Not actual currency, of course. We're just talking about credits.
Credits.
Of course not. Because we can't bail.
That's a great movie is what I'm saying.
Debt was fourth. Columbiana was fifth. Rise of the Planet of the Apes came in at number six. Then Shark Knight 3D, Apollo 18, Our Idiot Brother, and Spy Kids 4D.
I wasn't going to go see it. Then I saw Joe Rogan tweet.
Okay,
that
we
it was
got
great.
It. We I'm got that story already once.
It's a good movie.
Why do you keep telling stories over and over again? You already told us that story.
Nick Nolte is here. Wow.
Nick Nolte has the highest low voice in all of Hollywood.
He does. He always goes up here and he starts yelling and still got gravelly voice. I don't know why he does it.
Spartacus star Andy Whitfield passed away this weekend at the age of 39. Oh, come on with the comedy music. Poor bastard was 39 years old. Was the star of Spartacus, Blood and Sand. Passed away from non-Hodgkin lymphoma over the weekend in his homeland of Australia. And Cliff Robertson, very talented actor, won an Oscar. He did win an Oscar, Kevin. He actually won one.
Bet against him, too.
For his role in the 68 film Charlie. Of course, he was also Uncle Ben in the Spider-Man movies. He was 88 years old, died the day after his 88th birthday. Not a bad way to go out.
Must
have been some party, by the way.
Wasn't he a Batman villain at one time?
He was on the TV series Batman, played the Western villain Shame.
That's right. I remember him.
Come back, Shame. Shame, come back.
Shame.
Which was a spoof on the popular Western movie Shane with an N. That's why they called him Shame. You see.
Too much info.
I don't even know why I'm telling this story.
Everyone's asking me to replay the William Shatner music. We don't have time here, but we'll do it in the next show business in about 45 minutes. People have missed Shatner or heard it and want to hear more of it. This is his new album coming out on October the 11th called Seeking Major Tom. We played some sample tracks of that CD, and you got to hear him to believe him.
So. Yeah, it is weird.
Come on back, won't you?
I don't even know why he's playing the music.
Could I hear the celebrity birthdays as Nick Nolte, please?
Actor Joe Pantoliano is 60 years old today. Rush drummer Neil Peart is 59.
Ben Folds is 45 years old today. Jason Statham's 44. Paul Walker of the Fast and Furious films is 38. Benjamin McKenzie from Southland. When's that coming back? I missed that show.
Yeah, it is a good show. Is it coming back? Or are you making a joke?
No, okay, good. It is coming back, but I don't
know.
That's
a good show.
33 years old. Ruben Studdard from American Idol is also 33. Jennifer Hudson, while we're talking about American Idol, she's 30 years old. And Emmy Rossum celebrates her 25th birthday today.
I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph is here. Final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Showbiz stuff's going on. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
To talk about it. It's Monday. That means we talk about the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's what made money. Well, pretty much just Contagion. That's what made money. $23.1 million. Number one at the box office by far this weekend. The Help was knocked out of the number one slot by Contagion. Fell all the way to $8.7 million. But it's made over $100 million, right? They don't need us.
That's a big drop-off from number one.
It was number two. Warrior was number three at the box office. $5.6 million made it so.
Unacceptable.
The Debt was fourth. Columbiana was fifth. And then Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Shark Knight 3D, Apollo 18, Our Idiot Brother, and Spy Kids 4D rounding out your top 10. At the box office this weekend, a couple sad deaths this weekend. Cliff Robertson, Academy Award winning actor. He passed away at the age of 88 this weekend. He won his Oscar for his role in the film Charlie, which is, if you haven't seen it, you should Netflix it. Great performance, great film. Famously, of course, Uncle Ben in the Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire. Well, pretty much just the first one, because, spoiler alert, he dies.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
That's how he learns. With great power comes great responsibility, Kevin. And more bad news if you were fans of the Starz Spartacus Blood and Sand series. Star of that series passed away this weekend as well. Andy Whitfield died at the age of 39 from non-Hodgkin lymphoma, which is a insidious disease. Passed away in his hometown of Sydney, Australia, 18 months after he was diagnosed. And that was a bit of a drag.
I'm always fooled by the name of that disease because I hear non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and the way it's said, it makes me think, oh, well, at least thank God it's not Hodgkin's lymphoma because that must be worse.
Yeah.
Is it worse? Is one worse than the other?
Well, in my career as an oncologist, I've dealt with it in many different stages. I don't know, Bean.
I don't know. I was just optimistic.
What are the differences, Ralph?
That he would recover. I thought he would get better is what I'm saying.
Okay, let me put up this PowerPoint presentation about the different forms of lymphoma and how dangerous they can all be.
I have questions.
That you do.
I like to stay current.
William Shatner's got a new CD in the works. It'll be released on October the 11th. We've been talking about it all morning because it rocks. Because it's the greatest. October 11th. I will be there.
Yes, you will.
Wherever it goes on sale first in this city, I will be there with money in hand.
Probably say, iTunes.
Give it to me. I can't go to iTunes. That's on the internet, Kevin.
Oh. You can't do that?
No.
Okay.
It is in two discs. There are 18 songs. Basically, the theme is Shatner singing songs about space and sky and stuff like that.
And by singing, you mean talking?
Well, he sings a little bit on some of the tracks.
He interprets.
None
like
of the ones I'll be playing for you now because they're not nearly as funny as these. Here is a couple of the songs. Let's start off with a classic. She Blinded Me with Science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science. And failed me in geometry.
Geometry.
I'm Buzz.
What's the background singer doing? Who, me?
Yeah, they're having a good time on that recording.
That's an acid trip.
Bizarre. Bootsy Collins, by the way, playing on that track. With
really?
Bill.
Nice.
Yeah, how awesome is that? Space Oddity. If you're going to do a space song, you got to work in David Bowie's legendary Space Odyssey, right? Oddity.
This is Major Tom of Ground Control. I'm stepping through the door. And I'm floating in a most peculiar way. And the stars look very different today.
He also does the sequel, Major Tom, that other song that came out featuring the same character with Nick Valencia of The Strokes. Hmm. Works with him on that track. But our favorite so far that we've heard has to be Bohemian Rhapsody, the Queen epic. Rock opera, if you will. And Shatner gives all of the emotional investment that you expect in a Shatner song.
Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun. But now I've gone and thrown it all away.
That's
Mama.
Weird.
It's awesome.
How can we get the rest of that?
You have to wait. You got to wait a month. And then it'll be available on iTunes and Amazon.com. You can pre-order on both of those sites right now. And I suggest you do it so you don't miss out. What if they run out of digital downloads over there at iTunes? Then you'll be sorry.
That's what happens all the time is they run out.
And they get sold iTunes. Out. They get sold out on iTunes. Out. Then what do you do? When you, sorry, no more downloads. We're out.
Limited.
We're all out.
They don't do that ever.
You don't know, man.
I do know.
Really?
That I know.
The update is that non-Hodgkin's is the deadlier of the two. Apparently, if you get the non-Hodgkin's, you almost certainly die. They can cure you if you... Hey, I thought people might want to know. I would leave people hanging. Come on with the come on.
Ryan Gosling, he's got that new movie coming out, Ides of March, with George Clooney, which looks awesome, by the way. I predict George Clooney will win the Oscar for Ides of March.
Instead of Nick Nolte. I only be nominated.
He's going to be supporting.
All right. Ryan Gosling said when he was a kid, he was easily influenced by the movies that he saw. He was so in love with First Blood, the Rambo movie, when he saw it, that he wanted to be just like Rambo. So he went home and grabbed his family's set of steak knives.
Uh-oh.
Took them into school the next day and started throwing them at the other children. Just like John Rambo threw his knives in that film.
At the kids?
Other children, yes. Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Turns out the folks at his school were not impressed by that behavior. He was suspended. The next day, Ryan's mom and dad outlawed any action flicks in their home from then, from that point on. He was only allowed to watch movies based on the Bible or nature documentaries.
That's a bummer.
And so, Ryan the next week set a bush on fire so he could talk to it. Because he saw that in the Bible movie. Bad things with that Ryan Reynolds. I mean, the Ryan Gosling, rather. Ryan Reynolds, too. Anyone named Ryan, pretty much you can't really trust.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
While we're talking about new music, do you want to hear some of the new Coldplay? You want to hear that new Coldplay song?
Sure.
Yes.
This is a new song from Coldplay. And you can find it on kevinandbean.com. You can go to our website right now, and we've got it up there for you to take a listen to. Here's a little taste of the new Coldplay song.
In the night, the stormy night, she closes her eyes. In the night, the stormy night, away she flies.
Sounds good.
It's no Bohemian Rhapsody, I know that much.
It is Coldplay-ish, I'll tell you that.
Mama, just killed a man. Put my gun up against his head. Put the trigger, now he's dead. Mama.
It's that second mama that drives it home for me.
Can we play that again? Can we play Bohemian Rhapsody one more time? Am I throwing beer mug... a monkey wrench into his
ears. He doesn't react
here.
Quickly to new information, it's if that's not, what you're suggesting.
It's not gonna happen quickly, I don't think, but we might have it.
There you go. Can have it for you tomorrow.
Mama, just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead. Mama. Life had just begun.
Oh, Bill.
But now I've gone and thrown it all away.
And I don't feel like we're laughing at Bill. I feel like we are appreciating how great he is at emoting these lyrics on these songs. He's in on the joke.
I'm laughing at him.
Me too.
Really? Because I think he's in on it. He's doing it this way on purpose because he knows it's funny.
Either way.
You don't think he's unaware.
I'm laughing at him. I don't know.
I believe your read is offbeat.
Either way.
Either way, you're good.
I'm good.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Joey Pantoliano. Joey Pants, as he's known in circles, where people are nicknamed after articles of clothing. He is 60 years old today. Rush drummer Neil Peart.
We got to videotape you doing your air drumming.
I believe we did.
Yeah. Right, do it again. It is. You should see him.
It's powerful. Powerful stuff.
I had to nap now.
He's exhausted. He just did 10 seconds of it.
Neil Peart, drummer for Rush, is 59. Ben Folds is 45 years old. Jason Statham. Got that new movie, Killer Elite, coming out. Looks great. 44. Paul Walker's 38. Benjamin McKenzie of Southland's 33, as is Ruben Studdard of American Idol. Jennifer Hudson.
From American Idol.
Why am I talking like Jennifer? Again, from American Idol. She's 30 years old. Mama. And Emmy Rossum is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Bean is very upset that Miss Columbia is being forced to put on panties.
I don't think she should be able to put on panties.
Talk about that tomorrow morning on an all-new
Kevin. It's an outrage. They're coming down on her for just doing what she does. Come on. Let the woman live. That's what I say.
The party don't stop till the panties drop.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Why do people hate Gwyneth Paltrow?
That's another great question.
Ralph is leading that cause.
I'm outraged by Ralph suggesting people are standing up and cheering in theaters during Contagion when she dies.
Also, tomorrow we have Chris Cornell on the program. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Wow.
And we have comedian Jay Moore in studio, one of the funniest men alive. So that's coming up all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and BJ.